56, and you can harmonize with me or whatever you feel comfortable with, and we'll talk to Jesus and then we'll move forward. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Heavenly Father, we find, just as the songwriter said, that he must tell Jesus, and we too must tell him. We need to talk to you when we're up. We need to talk to you when we're down. We need to talk to you just every day, because in your word it commands. Just like Adam had communion in the garden with you, we need to make it a commitment to do that. And so, Father, today we look forward to communing with you. We look forward to having time with you and learning what it is you want us to learn. And then, Father, taking that time and applying it to what it is that we need to do. Just like Jesus went in the mountain to pray and then he went to work, we too need to have the same mindset. So, Father, we would ask that you would do a couple of things this morning. We ask that you would open our eyes. Lord, we really need to see. We're living in a world that's dying all around us, and we need to see what's going on. Open our ears. We need to hear. We need to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to hear how he lived in the scriptures, and we need to learn how he wants us to live by hearing from your word. And then, Father, we need to be about the business of doing what you called us to do. Not being busybodies, as busybodies go, but being bodies busy doing the work of Jesus Christ. That's our call. Lord, give us that desire. Give us a mind, a heart to do right by your word. And we'll give you praise and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've been, you know, we got through Leviticus, Matt. Where's Matt at? Yeah, we got through Leviticus, but just remember, next year it's yours. So you don't get off that easy. But the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the priests and the order of things. And it's just been some amazing things. The more we look at it, how things were laid out and things were designed and for what purpose. So, and you probably wonder how I got this title, The God of the Second Chance. Well, I was looking at Numbers and I was reading, and there's some things that you see in this text that'll bring it out, and I hope to bring it out in the story. We start out with the issue of the Passover, and I think if we don't all know what the Passover is, we'll go over it. The Passover started in Egypt, and when the final curse came down, and the Lord had told Moses to tell Pharaoh, now, you keep acting up, boy, it's going to be worse, and Pharaoh didn't listen. And finally, the last curse that he did was he took out the firstborn. Now, what you have to understand is in Egyptian worship, the firstborn became an item of worship. He usually became the Pharaoh. So he took out the firstborn of everybody in Egypt except, and that exception were those of the nation of Israel. And with that exception, they did something real interesting. He said, now, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to kill a lamb, an unspotted lamb, and then I want you to take that blood and you mark across the top of your door. And when the death angel comes through, he'll be riding through the neighborhood and he'll be looking around. And everywhere he sees the blood, he will pass by. And in the meantime, they had to eat certain type of food. It had to be unleavened bread, and they used bitter herbs, and then they had to be dressed, because once this curse was executed, it was time to go. And it was amazing when it came time to go how they gave them everything they wanted. They went and asked the Egyptians, you want, yeah, take, you know, it'd be like today, take my car too, take, you want my kids, you can take them, but take whatever you need. And in their case, it was a bunch of golden earrings and different things that they needed. For no more argument about the cattle. Not Pharaoh arguing about the cattle. You know, I'd be arguing about beef, too. I like a nice piece of beef. But no more arguing about the cattle, nothing else. Just take what you need and get out. It's kind of like God is saying to us, we need to kind of get out of this world mold. So there was a Passover. It started in Egypt. It was celebrated. And how it was celebrated was with 7 days of feast. And what it represent, the Passover represent the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Remember when the angel saw the blood on the post, he passed by. That blood represented the covering. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If Christ had not died on the cross, we wouldn't be sitting here today. And some of us are sitting here today and still have not recognized the fact that Christ has died on the cross. So in the process, we look at this, we see that there are three types of people in this text. And I'll give you each one as we go through. And each one had a certain characteristic. And this is how I came up with the God of the second chance. The first group of people in this text are the ones who miss the Passover. Well, let's look at them. And I'll go ahead and read from the beginning and pull up to verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at its appointed season. So that wasn't just a one-time celebration when they came out of Egypt, but it was to be done the first month. The first month of the second year after they would come out of Egypt. So every year they did this Passover. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a Passover Seder. I went to one at a friend's house and it was really interesting. It was just, the food wasn't bad either, but it was just interesting. In the 14th day of this month, at even, you shall keep it in his appointed season according to all the rites of it and according to all the ceremonies thereof, you shall keep it. God has an order in things that he does. I like what the scripture says. You know, you get people that act crazy in church. It says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And, you know, if you've been in some churches and folk get acting crazy, talking about they in the spirit, somehow acting like a complete lunatic says that they're in the spirit. That's not what scripture says. The scripture says that you are in control of that. And so God has an order about everything he does. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, and even in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And then we move to the first group. That first group of people were those who missed the Passover. Now, if you missed the first Passover, you're in a world of trouble. You're dead if you're the firstborn. But in this case, the issue of death is before but not before, but it's in a different way. So this group, and there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day, and they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? There were rules required. Like I said, the priests had to be dressed a certain way and handled a certain way and cleansed a certain way. The Levites had to be handled a certain way because they were given in place of the firstborn, and their job was service in the testimony. And then here's some people who had done a certain type of work that left them defiled. And in their case, it wasn't some particular sin that they had done, but they had handled a dead body. And you couldn't handle a dead body and walk into the Passover feast. So there had to be a cleansing for these men. And so there was a clear, and so what Moses did is he could have done like we usually do, is when something gets out of kilter when we're doing work, or we just blow it off. Or we say better luck next time. And that's what we do. More often when people don't fit our standards, we blow them off. You don't look right. You don't act right. You don't do this, instead of trying to figure a way around this thing. But the other side of the coin is you don't just do something just to be doing it. You do it because you have sought out the Lord. And Moses did what he was good at doing. He sought out the Lord. So I learned a long time ago, there are decisions that you don't make unless you seek out the Lord. Actually, it shouldn't be any decision that you make without seeking out the Lord. You know, we know what happened later on with Joshua. Some folk came by and they was dressed like a ragtag group, rotten wine bottles and rotten bread and rags on their body. And Joshua looked and said, well, they look like the right type. Well, they look like, only to find out they had lied. He did not seek out the Lord first. You know, we had a decision to make. I remember some years ago, a friend asked me about a pastor in the church down in Tennessee. Well, you know, we need good family men and we need this. And all that sounded good and well. Nothing more that I would love to have done than pastor the church. But I told him, I said, you have to understand something, brother. I can't make that decision without seeking out the Lord. Oh, Delaney, you're just scared. No, it's not a matter of being scared. It's a matter of going the right way. And once I sought out the Lord, the answer was no. When we're searching for a church, we visited around and we looked around, but I sought out the Lord. And then guess where he landed me? And what was only supposed to have been a 1 year visit has now turned into 9, 10 years. He landed us here. See, when you seek out the Lord, he does the right thing. You'll do the right thing when you seek out the Lord. So what Moses did is he sought out the Lord. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, stand still. No, let's not get fidgety. Let's stand here. Sometimes we're called to stand. In Ephesians, we're called to stand. Stand about having your loins girded, putting on the warfare. Stand. Not run. Not go backwards. Stand. He said, stand still. And I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. So Moses went back into that conference time and he had a little talk with the Lord. Remember the song, Have a Little Talk with Jesus? He'll tell them all about our problems. He'll hear our cry and he'll answer by and by. And Moses had a problem. When he had a problem, Moses didn't set out and try to do it with the council of friends. Moses said, I've got to go to the right council. So what Moses did is he searched out the higher council, which is the council of God, which was his way of life, which should be our way of life. Whenever we hit an issue, we should search out the counsel of God. The counsel friend is okay, but the counsel of God is important. And guess what? And if God gives you that counsel, then he will direct your friends many times in the same way if they've been searching out God too. And Moses said unto them, saying, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you, of your posterity, shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in journey afar off, yet ye shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month, at even they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. That's what I'm talking about, the Lord of the second chance. You may think I've gotten a little bit ahead. See, what he did is there were some people who weren't able, by a specific reason, to make that specific celebration. So what he did is he set aside a special time. He said, now, I know you missed this one. You see, that's how God is. See, our second chance is every day that we live. Every day that you live, you have a second chance. Let's say you rejected the gospel today, and tomorrow you live. You got a second chance. Okay, but what you have to understand is those second chances run out. I think the last time I went by the graveyard, there are a bunch of dead people there. They don't have a second chance. I used to tell people jokes. I went to a funeral one time. I said, you know what? I can tell you something about everybody in the graveyard. And you know, they're waiting for some great prolific statement. I say, they're dead. And then once you got them on the hook, you say, I can tell you something else about them. What? They ain't moved in a long time. You know? Now, if you're a Christian, you can tell them, well, guess what's going to happen one day? They're going to get up. And when they get up, I'm going to get up with them. And of course, they're going to look at you like they're crazy, like you're crazy, because a lot of people don't believe that. God can Send something down, he can put it back together. Some people go out and they get their bodies burned because they think they defy God. Guess what? At the second judgment, he says, I'll bring up the dead from the sea, the dead from earth. He'll put it all back together and send for the judgment seat. So here's God making a second chance for these men who were not able to be there. Well, there's a second group, and that would be us. See, we aren't Jews. Is anybody here of Jewish descent? Well, once you got adopted, you became part of Jewish descent. See, we are adopted by Abraham. You know, it's like if I adopt a child, that child becomes my blood, my flesh and my blood. When we gave our life to Christ, we get grafted into the tree of Christ. Well, that second group is strangers in the midst, verse 14. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the Passover unto the Lord according to the ordinance of the Passover and according to the manner thereof, so shall ye do. Ye shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. And when you read through Scripture, God is always telling the Israelites to separate themselves from others. Separate themselves from others. But what you're seeing here, he's saying, I've got a rule for the stranger after you. That stranger had to accept God's promise, his plan. That's us. That's us. We accepted God's promise, his plan. Now, we have the right to the Passover lamb that covers over our blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We have a right to that. And so these strangers were in the land. So what you're seeing here is something that you couldn't see earlier, but you're kind of seeing kind of like a picture of the church. Because in the church, God said he would bring all people. Now, we have to understand there are only two type of people in God's economy. You're saved or you're not saved. There's no in between. You're either bound for hell or bound for heaven. There's no purgatory. Some of us were taught, we were raised that way to think that there's a place called purgatory and we'll go to be a faceless soul and the good weighs against the bad. I hate to tell you this, it don't. The good don't weigh against the bad. It's Christ or nothing else at all. And if you accept Christ, then that's what's way. See, what Satan wants you to do is he wants you to be good without God so you can die and go to hell with him and his angels. That's not God's plan. See, I told the kids in class, it bothers me when people say, well, God is a loving God. You know, we want to take the love out of God. We want to hear the nice stuff. But God is such a loving God, and how can he send people to hell? And the scripture says that hell was designed for Satan and his angels. So why are people going there anyway? Because they reject what God said. God said there's only one way. Well, you know, the world teaches there. I think I was reading about some country there, India somewhere, 3 million gods. 3 million gods. How many people in the world? 6 billion. So that's what, about 2,000 people got their own separate god. 2,000 per, 3 million. But then you got to get the gods in other countries too. You know, you got to get the gods in America. You know, the gods in America are wealth and riches and prestige and social stature. You know, we that stuff we say quietly, but we know that's a part of life for us. Some of us think we're better than others. You know, I got this. I remember working at a job, and here's a lady just one step away from welfare roll, but she got a job at AT&T, and she was so snooty and so nasty, and one day she lost that job. Amazing how God can unseat us. But these are strangers in the land, and here's God making provision for the strangers. Every one of us was a stranger before we came to Christ. God said, I'll bless those who bless Abraham. I'll curse those who curse Abraham. God said to Abraham, he said, I will make your seed like the sand, like the stars in heaven. And at that time, Abraham had no kids. Y'all remember that? He didn't have his boy, the one he got when he was 99 years old. Every time I read that, it's a marvel to me. 99 years old, he got his first boy. Lord, have mercy. Poor Sarah. But everybody that has given their life to Christ is now part of Abraham's seed, the strangers. So we looked at the folks who missed the Passover. God made provision for them. And then the strangers in the land, he made provisions for them. And it's all about order. God said that all things be done decent and in order. And the order was that you had to accept God's plan. Well, finally, there's a third group. And these group are, they're conformists. What they decide is, whatever the tide is, that's what we're going to do. Whichever the way the wind blows, we're going to fly right with it. Let's read it. Verse 13. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. These are the people who rejected God's plan. You know. Well, you know, I don't have to be in church on Sunday. I don't have to do that. I got my own religion. You know, I had a buddy went to 12 steps, and he kept talking about a higher power. Well, all that higher power is good, but you need to know who that higher power is. And the scripture don't say that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess at the higher power. It says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess at the name of Jesus Christ. And I kept trying to encourage this man that that higher power, if it's not Jesus, then it ain't. Y'all know that word ain't. Your teachers tell you not to say it. My teachers told me ain't is not a word. And I ain't never stopped using it. But he kept saying, I said, no, we got to deal with the reality. The higher power is Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, he is the only power. If you don't give acknowledgement to Jesus Christ, then you miss the whole boat. Well, I'm doing okay. And you know what's sad? Is some churches still have that program in, and they still teaching higher power. You got to understand something. If your church has a program that doesn't teach about Jesus Christ, get it out. I remember at the age of 9, 10, 11 years old, I was going to church back home, and about 9, let's see, my brother's 4 years older than me. Boy, he's old. Boy, he's old. Old as dirt. Well, my sister's 17 years older than me. She's really old. But my brother got baptized, and my mom asked me, when are you going to do it? I said, Mom, I can't do it. She said, why not? I said, I just can't. There's something wasn't right. And they were sprinkling folk, and you know, what little bit I understood about the Bible and I didn't know Greek was that they dipped. And I like that dipping part, you know. I've asked some people at baptismal service if they want to meet Jesus sooner, I can hold them down a little bit longer. You know, nobody's agreed. It's kind of like the mentality the preacher said, everybody want to see Jesus, but not now. But these people, they had everything set up. They were clean, they were ready, they'd gone through all of that. And when the time came, guess what they did? They rejected it. They rejected it. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of people who come to church every Sunday. They hear the gospel message. It is so vivid and so plain before them. And then they walk out and reject it. That is the saddest testimony of a life. I share with kids. I officiated funerals and go to funerals. And one of the favorite lines that you hear in a funeral is that they came to Christ at an early age. And my favorite sideline, and I don't say it out loud, is they ain't did nothing since. They say that to ease the conscience. I'm not there to ease the conscience. I want to give you some peace, but all I'm going to talk about is Jesus. You know what? When a person has lived their life in Christ, you don't have to say they came to Christ at an early age. You can tell about the examples. I think about at Tommy's funeral when pastor was sitting up there preaching and we're looking down. He figured we probably better look up. He said, you know, I said, I know Tommy was a sinner, but I couldn't prove it. Because what he did, he has lived his life so much to the glory of the Lord that you begin to see the glory of the Lord in his face. And you watch him and you talk to him and the Spirit of the Lord would just bubble out over him when he was talking. But these people had done everything they were supposed to do and they rejected it, just like we do today. And guess what? God has a plan for those who reject. It says, therefore, thereof so shall he do. You shall have one. Okay, I'm sorry, let me back up. Because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. When we reject God's plan, we bear our sin. Now, my question for you is this. Where do you fit in the mix? Where do you fit in the mix? Can you let me know if you can't hear me. My voice, let me move this thing up a little bit. Is that a little bit better? Can you hear me back in the back? Okay. Where do you fit in the mix? Well, we can get rid of the strangers, right? Because if you belong to Jesus Christ, you are not a what? A stranger. So, you're either the people who do what God says, which is what the strangers did, or you're the people who rejected what God says. No ifs, ands, and buts, no in-betweens. Either you do what he says or you reject it. Well, let's look at it. Well, how simple is that, preacher? Well, you do what he says or you reject it. I like that, you know, God said he'll have the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Okay, so you either a sheep or you're a goat. Now, there are ways to describe sheep, but Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And the goats do what? They butt heads. So which one are you? Which one are you? I had to answer that question 20-something years ago, 30 years ago. Which one am I? Well, I decided to do what God said to do. How did I make it right? Well, simple. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Do you believe in him? Well, Pastor, I got an issue with sin. I have a problem. I still got sin in my life, and I want to make it right. You can't make it right. I don't care what your statute is. You cannot make it right. Only God can make it right. And I like what Romans says. It says all. Now, what does all mean? Anybody know what all mean? Everybody, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, somebody told me they was living above sin. I asked them where they did. I haven't talked to any dead people, you know. You know, people talking about raising people from. I ain't talked to none lately. I haven't talked to any lately. So if all have sinned and come short of the glory, that means all of us, right? And there's a wage for sin. The wages for sin is what? Who put that wage on us? See, Adam blamed his wife, but who was at fault? If Adam had done his job, Eve might not have done what she did. And he liked to shift it over, but it's Adam's fault because Adam sinned in the garden. Why? Because Adam was given authority over the garden, not Eve. Eve was his co-worker. Adam was given, and Adam sinned. And so because of Adam's sin for 6,000, 10,000 years, people have been going in the graves. And here's God sitting on the side saying, look, I've got a plan for you. That if you, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And you know what? He didn't just leave it out to the wind. He sent some folk to come tell you about it. Preachers. Doesn't just have to be the guy standing here in the pulpit. It can be somebody that's been prepared for the work. See, that's what we do. We prepare people for the work. And they went out and they knocked on your door and they shared God's plan of salvation. So the question still comes back to you. Where do you fit in the mix? When do you take advantage of your second chance? The God of the second chance. There are people who weren't able to make the celebration. So what he did is he made a way out. Jesus will make a way out of no way. No matter how bad your situation is in life, Jesus will make a way. Didn't say he'll remove everything, but it says he will make a way. And if you're willing to accept his plan, he will make a way for you. Have you accepted the offer from the God of the second chance? If you have not, come down here. Let's sit down. Let's talk. And let's resolve the issue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We thank you so much because you looked on mankind and saw that we couldn't do anything to save ourselves. Lord, the harder we try, the worse mistakes we make. So, Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. Came down and was born just like we were. Raised. Grew to be a man. Lived before us. And then died for us. But Father, the story wasn't ended there. After being 3 days in the grave, he got up. He got up. Lord, so that we wouldn't have to be afraid of dying. because we knew that we would live eternally. Lord, we thank you for giving your Son for us. We thank you for the saving power of his blood shed for us. We thank you for the love that you've shown us. Now, Father, give us a heart not to walk away from the gift that you've given. That man, that woman, that boy, that girl. If the gospel has touched the heart, Lord, give that driving desire to move on from where we've lived to where we're going to live. You said in Isaiah 55 that your word would not return to you void. And Father, we ask that you would not let it return to you void today. And for that, we'll give you praise. For that, we'll give you glory. For that, we'll be able to sing a song that the angels can't sing. And we'll look forward to being in eternity with you. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for this message. And I want to read to you from Jude. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, Amen.